Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 15? Looking at just a couple, three verses today. Luke chapter 15, the lost coin, verses 8 through 10. Jesus continues on in his parables, his picture stories. He says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses them. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are a saving God, that there is nothing and nothing we can do, and there's no place where we may be found that your love cannot find us. And Lord, we just pray for each and every heart here this morning, Lord. You know the struggles. You know the concerns that are on them. I pray your Holy Spirit would just touch hearts and bring hope and life and joy in the midst of all of the circumstances. And Lord, we just thank you for this passage this morning, the parable of the lost coin. You seek out lost things, and we praise you for that. And Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So last week we began kind of this short sermon series in Luke 15, the parables of Jesus, three of them. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son, or prodigal son, maybe better known as. And one New Testament scholar, I loved what he said. He said, he calls these three parables, this chapter of Luke, he calls it the gospel of the outcast, right? He said it's the deliberate attempt to show God's concern for those human beings whom people tend to despise or condemn. Have you noticed that that which the world condemns or thinks of as nothing is of great concern? In fact, the greatest concern of our God. Because when you look at these three picture stories, these parables, we see the love of Jesus, we see his compassion for the lost and the dying, we see the heart of God, and this is really what God has called his church to be. And be engaged in. Now again, last week we looked at the first one, the parable of the lost sheep. Again, these are everyday situations in Jesus's world. Again, a parable is a picture story. It is a picture, if you will, a story of something very common that everybody could understand, but it takes that common thing to illustrate a deeper and unknown spiritual truth. That's what Jesus is doing. For many people, they think, well, it's just silly little stories. Is it? Because when these stories of Jesus get lodged in your heart, ooh, you just wait. Sometimes it may take months or years before it's like, oh, that's what Jesus meant. That's what picture stories, what parables do. That was Jesus' favorite method of teaching spiritual truth. Now, this is the shortest of the three, you know, just a couple, three verses here. The lost coin, it's only found in the Gospel of Luke. Now, it's easy to forget. We live in a very different sort of world, and we talked about this in adult ed this morning. The world of Jesus was rather, we would say, very traditional, if not at moments strict, you could say. Jesus was different from the Jewish teachers or rabbis in his day. One of the many reasons for that would be that he allowed large numbers of women to listen and to follow his teachings as well. You know, back then, you know, the boys are on one side and the girls are on the other and that kind of whole thing. You know, and then what was it in the 70s in the colleges? They started with the radical idea of co-ed dorms, which we sort of like, okay, whatever. I don't know, maybe we ought to keep them separated. Isn't there a song about that? I don't know, just a thought. But the point being, Billy gets it. The point being is that Jesus allowed women free access to his presence, which was something that was not really done back in that day. He would actually have private conversations, right? With them as well. You study the Gospels carefully, you will notice that women are some of Jesus's, if not his most devoted followers, And behind the scenes, they are doing all kind of stuff. It's easy to miss, but they are cooking. They are taking care of the needs of Jesus and often his fairly clueless disciples, right? And it's some Bible scholars actually have pointed this out. I found this interesting about the parable of the lost coin. This parable may have originally been primarily directed toward women in the crowd, right, that Jesus was speaking to. Found this pretty interesting, right? Women in Jesus' day didn't really have the experience of looking for lost sheep, right? Shepherds were typically men in that time. Women typically stayed at home caring for the house, the children, the needs of the family. This does not mean they weren't incredibly hard workers, right? They were. Remember, everything had to be done by hand in Jesus' day. There's no labor-saving devices like we have today. Although, have you ever noticed that the labor-saving devices become tedious and almost slavery at times? Right, we think we're getting away with something. I wonder sometimes, right? But they did everything by hand. You know, the life of a Jewish homemaker in Jesus' day was not an easy one at all. Since we're on the topic, right, just curious, how many of you ladies have been or are stay-home moms or homemakers right now?
Have been.
Quite a few. Thank you, ladies, that have done that. Can I get a round of applause for these ladies? Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's so traditional. Well, okay, right? I know things have changed. Obviously, I have no problem with women working outside the home and anything like that. You know, my wife Deb was a stay-home mom for years. When our sons were young, she now, as you heard, runs the not-for-profit Bitterroot Cares. Introducing healthy and even Christian lifestyles to young children and families? I think that's a huge ministry, people, right? A continuing on of what she's always been up to and doing. Do you know who the people who gave the hardest time to my wife when she was a stay-home mom? Any guesses? Other women. The other women. I mean, she could go, well, maybe you want to ask her later. I mean, she gets going now. His sermon will be double because there's a lot of material there and important. But it was other women. Here was one typical comment we heard a lot from women regarding her staying home, as if it was such an offense, right? Well, I suppose it would be nice to stay home all day and play with the kids. Really? Really? Anyone who says something so ridiculous has no idea what a stay-home mother and homemaker actually does. And if the men are actually dumb enough to say something like that, then I dare them to trade places for a day and see who's really working hard. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know what? Men, please don't. Don't. Because what you will find in the course of one short day is why some animals actually eat their young. You know, it's true, right? God gave patient and nurturing hearts to women for a reason. So men, go into the fields, bring home some bacon, be grateful for your wives and the families that God has given you. Is that so old-fashioned? Okay. All right, Jim, what does this have to do with the parable of the lost coin? Glad you asked. Many Bible scholars, again, have thought that this parable would have really appealed to the ladies of Jesus' audience. Again, typically homemakers, really good at it. Another insight from Bible scholars was that coin that the poor woman lost in her home may have been a part of her marriage dowry, right? In ancient times, even up to modern times in some places, a woman came into a marriage with her family, giving her money and other resources of value to begin her relationship with, right? And here's the deal. If that relationship went south, she could take all her cash with her. How about that? So men would have to be behaving, right? How about that? Right? We want some Wayne was the brainchild in this one. Remember when we did the ladies shoot at the other place of employee. We had a couple men guns thing, and the ladies got mad. I actually just stirred that pot. This is for boys only, ladies. You women can't come. Ooh, that almost cost me my life. So we had to do something for the ladies. So we had that 20-gauge shotgun thing, and shotgun, yeah. And I remember, first of all, I freaked out the board because I said I need to use outreach monies for this, and they're like, "What do you want?" I said, "Well, I need about 30 or 40 boxes of shotgun ammo." That's not outreach. How is that reaching people for Jesus? I'm like, well, shall I preach a sermon on this? But I remember putting on Facebook, there's a lady shooting, and we had this rule with the guys. If you come, you only get to cook breakfast and smile, and you only get to help the ladies if they ask. Otherwise, shut up. That was the deal. And I put on Facebook a picture of a woman shooting. I think it was a 80-year-old woman, and I said, women helping men have better manners. You know, a woman who can shoot, anyway, there's always a way, people have ideas about roles and stuff like this. Anyway, so the woman could take her cash back home with her if the marriage went south. Now, what's really interesting, here's a historical Baco bit, is in ancient times, even in some portions of Arab societies today, a bridal headdress, have you seen one of these? There it is, would wear it, and it could be bedecked with valuable, expensive coins, right? She's bringing value into this. I'd have to ask Janie, I think it's Semedi. Does that sound familiar? I have to ask the Arab expert, the fluent one. Some Bible scholars believe that the woman in the parable of the lost coin may have lost one of the coins of her bridal headdress, reducing her dowry's value by 10%. That's kind of some of the background here. No small loss for a somewhat humble Jewish woman in Jesus' day. Coins are going the wayside. Have you noticed in the world? I think the president just said no more pennies. Pennies actually cost more to make now than to use. I think nickels, too. Those will be next, right? Well, anyway, any of you inherit priceless coin collections from relatives? That used to be a thing, right? Well, kind of like the time. When a man inherited a priceless coin collection from his deceased grandfather, one day a friend of his grandfather saw his grandson and asked about the collection. "Oh, that," said the grandson, "none of those coins would work at the laundromat. I swapped each one out of them for a new shiny silver coin at the bank." The friend of his grandfather said, "You did what? Don't you know that collection could have potentially been worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you traded them in for chump change to do your laundry? Do you know how stupid that actually was?" The old guys don't hold any punches. It's awesome. And he shrugged his shoulders and they said, "Well, I guess in hindsight it was pretty dumb. What can I say? I had no common sense." Anyway, you may remember Jesus' parable in Matthew 20. Owner of a wine vineyard went out to hire workers one day, and throughout the day he hired more and more workers. Matthew 20 were said that the workers each received one silver coin no matter how many hours, there it is, that they had worked, upsetting those who had worked the longest. So this was the average pay for a day labor, right, in Jesus's day. So this is what he's referencing in different parables. And he reminds us that the vineyard owner is an example of the lavishness of God on those who didn't deserve such a gift. It's a clue for us on the value of a silver coin that the lady lost in Luke 15. Average day laborer, one silver coin. Earlier in times, not in Jesus' day, but earlier in Bible times, a silver coin could buy you a sheep. That's pretty significant. So no wonder this woman conducted a careful search of her home where she spent most of her time. Kind of unlike the time. when young Johnny swallowed some of his mother's valuable coins. Anybody have a kid swallow coins? Is that just, yeah, okay, there we go. And he was taken to the hospital. And when his mother asked the nurse how he was, she simply replied, "No change yet." Coins. Anyway, sorry. Verse 8, the woman did three specific things, we're told, right? She lit a lamp. Houses typically had no windows for safety and security reasons. Two, she swept her floor, palm, twig, broom, listening very closely for that coin, kind of the tinkling of a coin. She's listening. Little lamp swept the floor, and she searched very, very carefully. Oh, okay. And so we know that the women's 10 coins, that was a tidy little sum for a woman in Jesus' day, and it explains why she was so anxious to find it at that point. Now, how many of you men have ever lost your wallet, right? Ladies, you ever lost or misplaced your purse? Yeah. Yeah, think about it. In addition to carrying cold hard cash, your wallet, your purse, credit cards, driver's license, valuable and sensitive information. Remember back, I mean, when you lost a wallet or your purse or whatever, how did you feel? I'm channeling Dr. Phil here. How did that make you feel? Well, it made me really upset, Dr. Phil. Maybe even murderous, like where did this go, right? If you've ever lost that, I mean, you know how that feels. There's a sudden rush of blood to your body. Your heart flutters. Guys, have you ever done I call it the police pat down. I always know it when I see a guy do this. It cracks me up. They you seem like tense up, and they do this. We're looking as if the wallet is somewhere on our person. The guy's police pat down, looking for the wallet. Furious search. Isn't that what the woman did in Luke 15, right? Right, you turn on all the lights, you scour every inch of the place, you search very, very carefully, and oh, when you finally found it, oh my, what a big sigh of relief. Grateful to God, you didn't have to call the banks, the credit card companies, go apply for a new driver's license while taking a serious and discouraging financial loss. Didn't you rejoice? Didn't you offer thanks to God? Didn't you tell others about your good news? Isn't it interesting how many people experience the same thing in their lives and they could rejoice with you? Isn't it when you have good news, who do you call? People who will rejoice with you. I was listening to a podcast from a psychologist. Actually, I was listening to Dr. Phil. I don't know why yesterday. It was actually kind of helpful. And he said, you know, when you have good news, the first person you don't call in your life is a narcissist. Well, why'd you lose it? Well, that was pretty dumb. Well, I would never do something like that. It's like, shut up. I'm sorry I called you. Right? You call someone who's like, oh, that's so awesome. I'm so glad for you. And, you know, let's go out. Let's celebrate. You rejoice. You know, you've all experienced it on more than one occasion. Kind of sort of like the time when a lady lost her purse and it was found by an honest little boy. He returned it to her. Looking into her purse, she commented, that's funny. When I lost my purse, there was a $20 bill in it. Now there's 20 silver dollars in it. The little boy replied, that's right, lady. Last time I found a woman's purse, she didn't have any change for a reward. Oh, some of you experienced that one, right? Here's my point. The parable of the lost sheep, along with the parables of the lost coin and the lost or prodigal son in Luke 15, give us an absolutely stunning window into the heart of God and those who are lost in one way or another. When was the last time you truly sat with the weight and the astonishing truth of this vision of the compassion, the loving compassion of our Father in heaven? Because so often in life, when we feel lost, when we grieve over the lostness of others whom we love so much, we wonder, where is God in all of this? Where is God in this mess, right? I shared that last week. We feel like little children who have wandered off in a store. Remember, I bet many of you have. How many of you remember wandering off in a store when you were a kid and you couldn't find mama? And you're like freaking out. Where's mommy? Where's mommy? You know, you went off to look at the Cocoa Puffs and you got lost in the weeds. Kind of a metaphor for life, probably, right? We choose such stupid stuff other than the great stuff, don't we? Where's the Cocoa Puffs? Anyway, right. Wandering off. It's terrifying. It's lonely. God, where are you? Right? Good news of Luke 15 is that Jesus is on a search and rescue mission, like the woman searching for a lost coin. He goes out, Jesus turns on the lights, he checks every nook and cranny until he finds the precious one who is lost, right? Simplest terms available. Why did God send his only begotten son Jesus in the first place? Luke tells us later on in his parable of tax collector Zacchaeus. All right, he said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That is the mission of Jesus. That's the mission of us as Christians. Parable of the Lost Coin reminds us exactly of this truth, that Jesus is actively out there looking for those who are lost. Now, I said last week, sometimes you just have to be good Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. If you know you're lost, sit down and let him find you. How about that? Instead, you walking around, running around crazy like, you know, why don't you let God find you? How about that? Right? Parable of the Lost Coin reminds us of this truth. Jesus is out looking for the lost. Luke 15:10 says that when even just one lost sinner repents and is found by Jesus, even the angels in heaven rejoice. What a picture. That's the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. So that's the mission of Mosaic Church, because a church that isn't on mission has become a country club, a museum, and guess what? I don't really like country clubs. I like museums, right? But God inhabits neither. Have you noticed this? So in closing, I want to leave you with a practical application. It's the same thing I said last week, as I will say again. Last week I said, be thinking, be praying about your circle of three. Now some of you say, I pray for people all the time. Great. Continue. Please keep on. But who are the three people that God would put on your heart that you want to invest in? Three people you can begin to regularly pray for and, invest your life into. Three people who are lost, like those precious coins, that you can share the good news of Jesus with in simple ways, in loving ways. Don't be weird. The gospel is not weird. As one Christian author said, if the gospel of Jesus Christ makes us freaks, what good is it? It's the most practical thing in the world. People are starving for the good news of the love of Jesus Christ, right? Who are those three people you can invest yourself in for God's honor and glory and see them come, these lost coins, these lost sheep, these lost children come to God? You know, we do a lot of backdoor evangelism around here. I love it. I love it. I love it. We do special church events, not just to do them. I mean, we do enjoy them throughout the year. There are people who will come only one time a year, and it will be to that traditional Christmas Eve service, right? There's an opportunity if that works, right? There are plenty of other stuff. How about that holiday ham distribution? Oh, man, we see this community light up when we give those away to those in need, single moms, people out of work. Guess what? Fall kickoff, was it the first week in September? We got them back, first time since COVID. We're getting the Imani Children's Choir from Kampala, Uganda, East Africa. It's gonna light this place up. It's hilarious. These kids are on fire for Jesus, and I love it. Last time they were here, they were like 18 kids, I think. We took them down to the farmer's market, I think it was at the end of the season, and everybody's like, because Ugandan kids are really, really African. They're really dark. They're not white, right? So the community's like, It's a perfect opportunity. Oh, what's going on in your church? Well, come on out to the choir we got going on. Really? Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't come for us, hear me, a sermon? Oh, please. But the kids that are on fire for Jesus, hey, come on out, right? How about, this has become a thing, how about our awesome St. Paddy's Day dinner? Isn't that cool? Man, we put on a spread that would be the envy in Ireland, I can say that, right? See a good movie about the life of St. Patrick or the places that inspired the spreading of the gospel. People are like, oh, that's pretty good. They're eating their corned beef and cabbage. I like that. That's very inspirational. It's like, cool. Come and see. Anyway, we could go on and on. I get really excited about this, obviously. These people could be friends, family members, neighbors, coworkers. Doesn't really matter, right? If you just stop and think about it for a moment, I believe God's going to bring those names and faces to you probably almost right away. So, as we continue our sermon series, Luke 15, the Gospel of the Outcast, please be serious. Think about this. Have some fun with it. Who are your circle of three? Scottish Bible scholar Dr. Herbert Lockyer said this: if a woman could exert all possible care in finding a single lost coin, isn't Jesus justified in taking all possible care in winning back to himself lost sinners whose souls are worth far more than silver? I thought that was so good. I think so. In fact, I know so. How about that? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thanks for allowing us to be in your house. We think of, as we often do, we pray for those Christians who are not allowed to freely assemble, Lord, for fear of the government, those who hate the gospel. Lord, and though we sometimes struggle and complain in our country, we just thank you for the freedom that we can assemble, that we can gather together in Jesus' name whenever we want. We thank you for our exquisite freedoms in this country. We thank you for our forefathers, the Declaration of Independence, and we thank you that we can live in freedom in Jesus. Lord, pray, we ask your forgiveness for when we use our freedom for license. And Lord, as we move into this communion time, we just pray that you would reaffirm the freedom we have in Christ in our hearts. We thank you that you seek lost sinners, that you look for lost sheep, lost coins, lost sons and daughters, Lord. All of these are picture stories of your great heart for us and toward us. And so, Lord, again, as we move into this time of communion, pray that we would just enjoy this together as your people, as the sons and daughters of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks and praise in his name, saying, amen.